a third Princeton podcast on this Thursday, and this one is the second annual EIWA Championships preview. My name is Craig Saxon. I have the Director of Communications for Wrestling at Princeton. Last year, Jadwin Jim hosted the EIWA Championships. I thought this would be a cool thing to have an overall preview of the EIWAs before it came to Jadwin, and I was joined by Chaz Dorman, who holds the same position at Penn, and we had a really good time, and we thought, you know what, neither of us are hosting it, but let's just do another one of these preview podcasts. It's a good 45 minutes to an hour, just kind of shooting back and forth about, you know, different weights, team standings, NCAA allotments. You know, we try to touch on a little bit of everything. You know, we did this before pre-seeds came out. Obviously, the seedings and the brackets were announced Thursday night. Championships start tomorrow. You can watch them on Flow Wrestling. For Princeton, you can follow updates live through Twitter at Tiger Wrestling. You know, we had tried to have a little fun with this. We certainly, I'm sure, missed a couple of results here and there. Seeding-wise, you know, we hit some, we missed some, but just, you know, try to give you kind of just a basic look at the different weights and maybe some upset possibilities, some weights where, you know, depth is a major a factor, some where, you know, you could probably call the winner pretty early. It's a great tournament. It's one of my favorite weekends of the year. Really in any sport, and something we really enjoy. A couple of tidbits for relating to Princeton before we get started. Freshman Taya Gazy, who had been the starter all season for Princeton at 125, he will miss the weekend. Suffered an injury at practice the week before the competition. Really a shame. You know, this happened to Brett Harner a couple years ago. So Matteo DiVincenzo, who wrestled, you know, early in the season, actually, when Agassi was injured earlier in the year, he will get the chance to wrestle, so he obviously is unseeded. Princeton will have several seeded wrestlers. Just going weight by weight, Pat Darcy is the 5 seed at 133. Matt Klodzik, obviously, number 1 seed at 141. Jordan Laster, the 2 seed at 149. Remember, he's a finalist. 2 years ago, was a finalist from 141. At 57, Mike D'Angelo will be the 6 seed. 160, and also, when we get to 157, we talk a lot about seeding and where Dylan Palacio, if he wrestled, would be seeded. He is seeded 4th. So it's the other side of the bracket from D'Angelo. 65 will be Lenny Merkin. He's unseeded. He takes on the number 2 seed, Walter from Lehigh. 74, John Schleifer is the 6th seed. He could face Casey Kent of Penn in the quarterfinal round. This is a match that in the dual meet, Schleifer actually defeated Kent. Kent's a returning All-American, so real potential for excitement there. Kevin Parker, the freshman at 184, he drew the short straw, so he will take on Gabe Dean of Cornell, the 2-time reigning NCAA champion. You know, Parker could pull off the biggest upset in NCAA wrestling of the season if he can pull that one out. Brett Harner is the 2 seed. Tom Slay of Bucknell will be the 1 seed. Harner, the reigning EIWA champion at the weight and an All-American. He's suffered a couple of injuries, lost a couple of dual matches, and so he fell in seeding 1 spot. Not a huge deal in terms of, you know, you had some tough guys at the weight on either side. This does set up potentially another semifinal with Frank Mattias of Penn at 197. And then heavyweight Ray O'Donnell is the 4 seed. So a lot of things to look out for. Great weekend, as I mentioned. You can watch it on Flow Wrestling. It's going to be Friday through Saturday. And now let's get to our second annual EIWA Championships podcast, myself and Chaz Dorman.
Okay, Chaz, we will open up the EIWA Championships Friday at Bucknell. I can't lie, I don't mind not hosting it. Even that, as fun as it was, it's a little easier to go and be one of the guests. I guess before we look at weights, any kind of preliminary thoughts on it? I mean, T team wise, it feels like it's probably Lehigh and Cornell battling 1-2 and everybody else battling for the rest of the positions. But any weight in particular, or anything in particular that you're looking forward to, that you're you know, most curious about?
Yeah, Craig, again, thanks for having me on. It's always nice to talk EIWA wrestling as we get into the postseason. Last year we did this and we were mildly successful at talking about it, so I'm excited to give it another
mildly
go around.
Is fair. I think mildly is fair.
This year. You know, and I think it's you're probably spot on there with it being a two-team race for the team title in Lehigh and Cornell, but I really think it's going to be close. I think Cornell's on this long run, but I think there's a couple question marks on health with some of their guys that they would expect points from, and Lehigh is maybe more of a sure thing heading into the tournament. But that'll be the fun part to watch those first rounds or two on Friday and see if, you know, those two teams can put them in position to do what they expect to do on Saturday. In terms of weights, I think the middleweights are going to be really interesting. I think there's a, you know, there's titles up for grabs at 49, 57, 65, and I think 74 probably is the weight with the most experience and the most top tier guys at it. And, you know, the semifinals there could all be all Americans in a couple weeks. And, you know, so I think it's, those are going to be interesting because, you know, the lower weights, it might be in the heavyweight, it might be more of a kind of a sure thing, but, you know, I think it's interesting. I think there's a lot of teams on the rise, teams that may not have competed for third place or so in the last couple of years that are going to be thinking about that, you know, making a run to get a trophy.
Yeah, I agree with that. All right, let's start with weights. We'll go through the weights. We'll talk about NCAA allocations for each. We'll start at 25. There's two bids up for grabs, so it's, you got to make the finals to be assured of a spot at NCAAs. Does anybody break up a cruise to Rao final?
I don't think so. I, you know, it's hard to say that. And it's just, those two guys are such veterans and, you know, have been through the tournament a little bit. I think Cruz is the clear far and away number one.
Right.
You know, and that's that, you know, he's ranked number four in the country and that makes sense. And Tarau at number 10 in the country, those two guys, they've earned the bids. You know, and they can make it to the, I think they have the clearest paths, but, you know, Cornell, I think this is one of those weights that's going to be key for them in the team race, is how does Noah Bauman do as a freshman in his first tournament? You know, can he win that semifinal? Can he get in there to the final? Can he put up some bonus points and really find his footing? You know, if he can maybe upset Tarau in the semifinal and get in, I think that really helps Cornell in the team race.
Yeah, you would think that you know, he could be the three seed. You know, obviously we know our teams a little better than, you know, probably especially some of the you know, Patriot teams and other non-Ivy teams. But you know, Bauman beat Princeton's freshman Ty Agassi in overtime at Cornell. I think Agassi is another one of those guys that, you know, he, depending on kind of seed and how you break down, I mean, you know, being a top six seed is going to be important because that keeps you out of the a quarterfinal, you know, with either Cruz or Tarau. So, you know, if you can get into the top six, then, you know, you can avoid one of those two guys until, you know, the semifinals, and then, you know, you see what happens. Yeah, I agree. Bauman, Agassi, there's a couple other guys who could make runs, but I think that these are semifinals that I think would be fairly substantial upsets if somebody was able to knock off Cruz or Tarau. And then, you know, when they get to the finals, you know, I don't know their head-to-head, how many times they've wrestled this year, but you know, you would think that Cruz, a little more of a veteran presence, somebody who's been, you know, in these finals before, would have the edge, but that would be a really fun final.
Yeah, I think Cruz is the defending champ, and he beat Tarau 9-5 earlier this season. You know, I'm going to lie and cheat and let you know I have, you know, the pre-seed worksheet.
Well, there you go.
Here that coaches have, so I'm able to jump in with some of this information. So, you know, I'll be able to hopefully help provide some sort of actual information this time. But, you know, I think with Cruz, you know, he's been there before. He's the defending champ, and you know, he has that win. So it, and it's just going to be interesting because normally at the conference tournament, guys can lock up their automatic bid to NCAAs early on. You know, maybe even by the end of the first day, or you know, just with one win, and depending on how things go. And 184 is a weight where we'll talk about later that can happen. But these guys, they're not going to make, they're not going to take care of that business until day two. You know, and there's only two spots, and that's kind of unique for the IWAs. I don't really remember too many weights over the course of this new system where only the top two guys get in, and that semifinal is great for two reasons. You're making it to the championship match, but you're also finally secured your NCAA bid. So I think that'll be an emotional round to start Saturday's wrestling for those four guys.
Yeah, I agree. Let's move to 33. Four bids up for grabs. Four guys in the latest RPI for from the EIWA, being led by a former champion in Kevin DeVoy's, eighth in the RPI right now. This weight feels like somebody could come out of the blue and win it. You know, I know that you know, Mark Gray is up there pretty high in RPI. Scott Parker isn't. Or unless I missed him, isn't as high in RPI. I don't think he's in it. May not have qualified for enough matches, but he's currently ninth in the intermat ranking. So he's the highest ranked one coming in. I mean, does this feel like an open weight to you, or does it feel like, you know, it's Parker's to lose, DeVoy's to lose?
I think those two guys are probably the known quantities in the weight. You know, DeVoy, like you said, he was the first EIWA champ for Drexel since they, you know, when they joined the conference. So he's been there. He's been, you know, second and first at the conference tournament, and you know, so he's pretty, I might give him the edge as the favorite just because Parker hasn't been on the mat enough. But Parker beat DeVoy earlier this year, so you know, the coaches I could see going to Parker as the one seed, but he's only wrestled in maybe 10 or so matches at that weight, so. You know, that's why he's not in the RPI, but he is up in the top 10. You know, and Gray, the injuries, and, you know, he's just one of those wrestlers that wears his career on his sleeve and kind of carries it around with him because of the injury battle he's had to fight over the last 2 or 3 years. And so if he's healthy and feeling it, he's really good. But, you know, just when you get to that point in your career, we've all had wrestlers on our teams that have done that. Is he able to you know, to rise to there. And the guy that I'm interested in, upset special, is Esteban Gomez Rivera from American. You know, we've seen him in the dual meet this year, and he's talented, and American kind of seems to have that luck with the lower weights, and that's where they're always tend to be strongest. And I could see him going on a run and finding his way to the finals.
Yeah, and Gray is a one I want to go back to a little bit. I mean, you looked at that, this great senior class that Cornell currently has. I mean, Gray was the headliner at the time. Now, obviously, you know, Gabe Dean is a two-time NCAA champion. Brian Robuto is a NCAA finalist, a, you know, potential champion this year. And Gray really has battled a ton of injuries, but he is somebody who could, you know, have an incredible weekend, or, you know, like you said, his body could have broken down enough, and you know, maybe he just doesn't have it. And he will be an interesting one to watch. I know, you know, Pat Darcy beat him in that final Ivy League match that should wrap up first team all Ivy honors for Darcy. And he's another one who has wrestled really well over the last month and a half. I think he's an interesting one. This could be a fun quarterfinal round. You know, if Parker and DeVoy are the top two seeds, they probably should have a fairly safe run to the semifinals. But, you know, that 3-6 and 4-5 quarterfinal could be really interesting. And it would help because, you know, you're talking about four spots. The fewer rounds you give yourself, you know, the fewer rounds you have to wrestle, obviously, can make your life a lot easier. Because I think once you get past those top two, you know, you could have somebody else coming out of nowhere and pulling this one off.
Yeah, and it's, you know, those weights they get going early. They're first up in the, you know, second up, I guess, in the bracket. So, you know, it happens quick. That's quick on you, and so you can, you know, you have to be ready to go. And you know, whereas maybe an upper weight guy can ease into it. You know, no, you this if you're not mentally ready early on. That's where I think the upsets tend to happen the most at these lower weights.
Move to 141, five spots up for grabs. Princeton, the freshman, Matthew Kolodza, came in certainly a lot of hype and has lived up to it. Maybe struggled a little bit over the final couple weeks, but still brings a 22-2 record, fourth ranked in the country. But a good weight. I mean, this is a good weight in the EIWA. Not necessarily as many Ivy League guys who are kind of going to be probably top four or five seeds, but still a weight where I think will be really interesting and another one of those where you'll see some really good matches in wrestlebacks, on the way to one of those five bids.
Yeah, and that's, I think, as we get to these weights that have more opportunity, that it kind of increases the fun of watching what happens and where you get to those weights where somebody that comes from off the path there, steals a bid, and there's the talent at the top is really good. You talked about Kolodzik and Randy Cruz is, for Lehigh, is a two-time champion and at this tournament and an All-American, so he's, he might be the guy lined up opposite, in the two seed, but I think Jared Prince at Navy is a freshman. Is an interesting guy that could sneak in there and make some noise and end up in that final. And he beat Cruz earlier this year, so he's how does that weigh in? Again, even in maybe in seeding, despite the national rankings, how do they seed those guys head to head is usually a pretty big determining factor. And I think Tyler Smith at Bucknell is an NCAA qualifier, and he's a guy that might be thinking of, having an opportunity to let the top three guys battle it out, and then he can, find his way into that final. But it is nice to know that, you have the wrestle back opportunity if you're someone maybe like Logan Everett from Army, who's a veteran, a senior, and looking for his first NCAA trip, I think. And he he's got an 18-11 record and had a close match with Prince last week at the Army-Navy duel. And, if he may be on the outside looking into that semifinal, but he can, if he goes down and wins a match or two, against some guys, he can find his way into the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, Tyler Smith's the one who I think is really interesting to watch. He could be pretty highly seeded. Comes in on a either 10 or 11 match win streak. Plays third as a freshman. So he's been there before. He's experienced. He'll be in his home gym. You never know exactly how that's going to factor out. Does it, you feel a little tighter? Do you feel, a little more inspired? But I think he's going to be a really interesting one to watch. It would not shock me to see him make a run, maybe, a Cruz Smith semifinal. A guy like Will Cole from Cornell is another one who I think when you look at Cornell, this is one of those weights that maybe there's not as much expected from Cornell, but he wrestled Kolodzik really tough at Cornell a couple weeks ago. So he's got at least an opportunity to make some noise. And then, Kolodzik, again, if you look at kind of some of the scores mid-season, he really hit his stride. The 1-0 loss at Midlands was, kind of a coin flip match. I think the only match where, he really, the other guy beat him clearly was the match against Joey McKenna of Stanford. McKenna, obviously, one of the top wrestlers in the country. But, it'll be interesting to see how Kolodzik kind of comes off the last week or so. He didn't wrestle the final week of the regular season, had a couple of closer matches, final Ivy League match of the season. But, if he kind of is rounding into shape heading towards NCAAs, he's somebody who could put on a show this week and really go into NCAAs, on a high.
Yeah, it's been interesting to kind of see him come in with all that attention and still, and live up to it. There's a true freshman, at our level. We're not at the Iowa, the Penn State.
Right.
It's to have a guy live up to it, I think, has caught the eye of the national scene and been a good, thing for the league and everyone else to have that attention come on us. And then a guy, I just think it's going to be interesting. I think there's the top four in this weight, and then with five spots, I think that fifth one's going to go to someone so far off the radar. It's going to be fun to see that kind of play out at the end of Saturday's competition.
Yeah, and that's what makes those consolation rounds so fun because, you know, you could see somebody who maybe gets upset in an earlier round and you know, mentally, you know, it takes a big hit and all of a sudden somebody else gets that win and then they start running. I mean, we've seen this before. It's one of the great things about EIWAs. You know, you talk about, you know, favorites and who's going to win, you know, who gets the finals, who wins the title. But those kind of unknowns making big runs are really what make that, you know, late Friday, early Saturday matches so fun. And I agree with you. This is, you know, when you get an odd number weight, you know, odd number of allocations, you're going to get to that final session. And, you know, on one mat, somebody's wrestling for a title. But on another mat, you know, somebody's wrestling to continue their season and possibly continue their career. So, so that should be a good one. I agree. A weight where you could see a lot of some really interesting results. 49, three bids up for grabs. Lake Gardner from Cornell tops in RPI. Jordan Laster, two-time finalist. You know, wrestling pretty well recently. Matthew Samato of Drexel. The third guy ranked in the latest RPI. I know that you guys have you know, kind of seen all three of those. Anybody in that trio that you feel like kind of goes into it as the favorite?
You know, I think I'd have to give the nod to Samato as not only, you know, he's the defending champ in the weight. So, you know, I think he you know, he's been through it and we saw him most recently and he looked pretty good. He won his match against Penn, you know, by injury default, but he was cruising, you know, to that point. And, you know, he enters 23-7 overall this year. And I think he, you know, he's got something to prove after being a high seed at NCAAs last year and faltering down to the round of 12 and just missing out on the All-American honor. So I think he's, you know, he's really motivated as a senior knowing it's his final go through. You know, and I think it's, you know, Gardner from Lehigh, he's had a pretty good year. He finished third last year at the tournament. You know, and he's probably the number two. And then Laster for Princeton, you know, he falls into that category again of a senior who's, you know, had success and he's been a part of a turnaround for a program. And how does he help continue that, you know, in for Princeton, a team that, you know, I look at as a one of the squads really in the hunt for that third position. You know, him getting to a final, him winning, you know, does a lot for that. And I know that he's a guy that is a big team guy and is someone the Coach Ayers counts on. So,
yeah, absolutely.
You know, he's gonna kind of carry that with him, you know, and it can be really positive throughout that tournament.
Yeah, I could, you know, it'll be, this is another one where seeding will be interesting between those top three. You know, when you look at Gardner, I know Gardner's got two wins over Samato already this year. And then, you know, we talk about the team tournament, you know, the team title. This is a weight that I think Lehigh could make a big move. You know, Galasso, finalist last year for Cornell, you know, and a great run. And who knows? I mean, maybe he's got another one in him. We could see if Gardner gets the top seed, and I don't know. I think it'll be close between Gardner and Samato. It wouldn't surprise me if it goes to Gardner because he's got the record over Samato. But, you know, if you're looking at a possible Gardner Galasso semifinal, you know, I think that's a big one for Lehigh and a weight that that I think they're going to count on to get some points over Cornell. I think he goes in as the slight favorite, to be honest. And then Laster and Samato, I think, are going to be a really interesting couple other wrestlers. The rest of the weight, you know, like I said, you never know quite who's going to come out of nowhere. Michael Sprague of American comes in with a really good record. But this is a weight where, you know, you could see somebody kind of surprise, get hot and make a run. But I do think there's a bit of a gap between that top three. I mean, I guess you can decide where you want to put Galasso into it. But, you know, I do think there's a bit of a gap between that top three and the rest of the field.
Yeah, and that's the tough part of only having the three bids, is that you need to really put a true run together to steal a bid from these guys, because, you know, if you lose in that first round, that's a hard path back And, you know, if these three guys all get to the semifinals and one of them drops down and, you know, just has to win twice, you know, there'll be an emotional swing at stake for them. But if you lose in that first round, that's, you know, I'd see it's highly unlikely you're going to put yourself in that position.
It's a long journey back for sure. But somebody, you know, somebody's getting to that third place match. And, you know, at that point, you could have had a really tough semifinal and, you know, feel like, okay, you know, if it's one of those three we've talked, I mean, one of those three, you know, one of them is not going to make the finals. So let's say they make that third place match. They may feel like they've got the NCAA bid already wrapped up and you know, maybe not have the same urgency as somebody else. So, you know, you got to get to that third place match and then you may just have a bit of a mental edge. It'll be interesting to see kind of how the semifinals play out, who gets there and then, and what it looks like. But, you know, somebody will be wrestling for their NCAA careers because I don't think outside of those top three, certainly anybody else is grabbing one of those final at-large bids.
Yeah, that's correct.
All right, 57, four spots up for grabs. It's one of the weights that has certainly an interesting one in the Ivy League in that, you know, top three all wrestled each other. One, you know, ABB, BBC, you know, CBA, Russell Parsons from Army, Victor Lopez from Bucknell. I mean, just a really, really good weight. You know, Dylan Palacio, is he going to be, you know, is you know, you just don't know. I think there's a lot of interesting potential to that weight.
Yeah, I think we can talk as much as we want about this, but part of me is like, this isn't decided until we show up Friday morning and we know who's actually in the lineup for
Absolutely.
Cornell.
Yeah, no, I agree with that. And you know, it's not like, you know, if you don't get Palacio, you have, you know, an easy spot from Cornell.
Yeah, you know, Simaz has had a good year for them and been in the lineup, but, you know, it looks like all signs point towards Palacio being the guy they would like to enter at that weight. But, you know, he's wrestled five times this year and only once at the weight. So how do you seed him if he does enter? And, you know, where does that change up everyone else's, you know, rankings of the guys like Cutler from Lehigh and who's, you know, again, not wrestled as much as a redshirt freshman, you know, just about 14 times on the mat, but, you know, 13-1. So he's probably, you know, the number one seed, you know, and then the coaches in that room are not going to want to just randomly draw Palacio in.
No, that would be a disaster.
And, you know, but how do you accurately, you know, put him in a place? And so it's going to be interesting because I think, you know, other guys, it makes the weight interesting because there's only four bids. And through, you know, I looked at six guys that I thought could, if not win the tournament, you know, all be very deserving of a trip to the national tournament. So, you know, there's big matches early there in this weight class, and there's a lot of wild cards in the name of Dylan Palacio.
Yeah, I mean, Palacio is such a interesting spot for coaches and for everybody to be in. When you talk about somebody who I think you would have penciled in at 57 early, and then he wrestles a few matches at 65 and, you know, deals with injuries, but, you know, comes back during, you know, the match against Ohio State last weekend and doesn't just win, but dominates 19-8 major decision. And, you know, but now you got to get back to that weight again. And look, maybe this has been the plan all along. Maybe his feeling was just get me healthy for March and let me do my thing. And, you know, Palacio had has been a postseason performer. I mean, we've seen it. He's really good, but this is not, you know, this is a weight with a number of really pretty good wrestlers and guys who can challenge Palacio. You know, and Parsons, Bethea, really tough. He's had postseason success. Lopez, D'Angelo had a nice stretch there in February. I think this is a really interesting weight, but I agree. How Palacio, A, if he's in there, B, is he seated? You know, how, you know, where does he fall? I do think it'll be a really interesting spot in that room when those coaches, you know, those seating meetings typically go to form. You have a couple of votes that could be a little close, but I think this is one that everybody will pay attention to.
Yeah, because they just know that, that how that decision is handled and then the subsequent seed draw can really play a factor when you're talking about four automatic spots. And, you know, you want to you put yourself on the other side of that wild card, Dylan Blasio. And it's, I think, you know, it's important to say, like, true wild card. I mean, because not only, like, the way he wrestles is unorthodox as well. So, you know, you could get end up, you know, he lost a match 14-13 up at 65 this year. Like, that's a, you know, that's a lot of points going both ways. And, you know, so you're thinking, you know, do I want to be on the other side of him or do I want to get him early because maybe there's a weight issue or, you know, he's entered, you know, last year at the tournament, there was, you know, on the Penn side, CJ Cobb was the number one seed and was unable to go on day one. And that changes the entire tournament. Somebody gets a bye and all of a sudden Galasso's in the final. You know, is there a guarantee that, you know, there's no guarantees that doesn't happen again with someone like Palacio, who has entered in the National Collegiate Open last weekend and then didn't wrestle. And it's just kind of been his MO all year of in the lineup, then out at the last minute. And so you could show up on Friday morning and, you know, he's seeded three and doesn't, you know, can't go. And now the whole, you know, all your plans are different because, you know, it's too late to do anything. So I think it's going to be intriguing and kind of fun to watch it happen on Friday morning and make sure, okay, here's the actual bracket and here's where we are. And, you know, how are we going to proceed from there?
If you're Russell Parsons, would you rather be the one seed and just let Palacio be randomly drawn, or would you just take the two seed and let Palacio be the one? I mean, what would you rather see?
Yeah, it's, you know, I think you hope, you know, somebody like him, I think you if you're one of those, the top two guys like Parsons or in Cutler, and my guess is, you know, Cutler probably gets the one seed. But you know, you want Palacio seeded, you know, somewhere in that top five, top six, and just so you know where he's going to be. You know, that's my gut feeling on that one, just because he's talented when he's when he's on that.
But, oh, terrific, terrific wrestler.
You know, yeah. Okay.
Let's so
go ahead.
No, I agree with you. Know, dude, that seeding meeting, that the bracket of 57 will certainly be the most anticipated one. At 65, four weights up for grab, maybe the one where you could put 5-6 names into a hat. And you got a pretty good chance of, you know, randomly picking out the winner. I mean, is this the way you feel like there isn't the one clearest favorite, even if you know, some weights maybe one or two guys, but this weight feels like it could be the most open?
Absolutely. I think it's the most open just in terms of where the depth kind of starts in the weight. You know, I think there's other weights that, you know, and then the weight we get to next, I think there's a couple of different guys that could win, but they're all at a really elite level.
Right.
And at this one, you know, Womack from Cornell, looking at the last coaches rankings, is number 19. And that's the highest of anybody in the conference.
Right.
So, you know, and then Cole Walter from Lehigh at 22. So you're looking at a group that's, you know, that's not at that true elite level, and they've all kind of got wins over each other, and they've all got their warts and they've all got the things they're good at. And so, you know, again, yeah, I think six guys, seven guys deep in terms of who could actually end up winning this thing, because they're all kind of lumped together.
Yeah. Womack, of Cornell has, you know, had a really nice year, nice run through the Ivy League. Martino's a guy that I've liked from Penn. You know, he could be anywhere from 3 to 6, maybe. Tyrell White, same thing. You know, it feels like it's a really good weight. The quarterfinals at 65, I think, are going to be a blast, because I think anywhere from you know, whoever the one seed is going against all throughout, I think are going to be really competitive matches. And these are guys that, you know, I don't think anyone terribly feels like their NCAA bid is assured. And I don't think there's anyone who feels like, I can't take one of these four spots. You know, I think you're going to have 9-10 guys go into this weight and feel like, why not? You know, why can't I get this one? And this is another interesting one for, you know, for that Cornell-Lehigh race, because you have Womack and you have Walter of Lehigh. And look, maybe one of them catches fire this weekend and the other one just doesn't wrestle well. And this could be a big point swing either way. You know, it wouldn't be a shocker if one of them, you know, wrestles, goes 1-2, you know, and the other goes undefeated, and it could go either way. So I just think this is going to be a fun match. And even that pre-quarterfinal rounds, you know, you might just get a sense of, wow, this guy, I wasn't even thinking about him, but boy, did he wrestle well. So first two rounds at 65, I think are going to be a blast and really might tell you something.
Yeah, because it's, you know, you talked about Martino for Penn. He's been an NCAA qualifier, you know, previously at 157, but, you know, he's had an interesting season because in the Ivy League, you have to kind of keep pace academically with your athletic schedule. And so he had to miss the fall season in order to, because he was so far ahead in his classes, you know, as a 50-year senior, he had to miss a year with an injury. And so he didn't compete in the fall. And so his match total was really low. So he spent most of the second semester chasing matches around the country. And it hurt the team in a regard from the dual meet standpoint, because he had to miss the Brown dual meet. He had to miss the Columbia dual meet. He had to, you know, kind of, he was in all different parts of the country and finally got to the 17 matches that he needed to get an RPI counted. And it paid off because he ended up earning that fourth spot for the conference. And so, you know, he's doing everything he can to extend his season. And so that's the type of guy that, you know, we talked about earlier. You know, he's in a third place match, or he's in that consolation semifinals and knows that a win gets him into that third place match and gets him that automatic bid. Like, you know, he's been thinking about that opportunity since January 1 when he was back, you know, able to compete.
Right. One guy I will point out for fans, the Princeton freshman, Leonard Merkin, who will, I'm sure, be unseeded. But if you get a chance to watch him, he is one of the most fun wrestlers you'll see. He's 21 matches, 8 or 9, either he pinned the opponent or he got pinned. He wrestles high scoring matches. He beat a Harvard wrestler 22-11 and had the Harvard guy had riding time on him. I mean, that's just kind of how his matches go. So if you see him on a mat near you, just pay attention, because really anything is possible. All right, we're hitting to kind of some of the high profile weights in the EIWA. Start with 174, 6 bids up for grabs. You have Brian Realbuto, former NCAA finalist, you know, top 2 in the country right now, number 1 in RPI. Casey Kent, the All-American, Ryan Preach from Lehigh, Jaden Bernstein, Jonathan Schlafer, Harvard's Joseph Johnson, who I think may get a little overlooked as you start this, but, you know, he's somebody who has the potential to make a run. I mean, this is a little, it feels like it's wide open, like 65, and that there's just so many guys at an elite level. But then you wonder, is there anybody out there that can beat Realbuto if he's wrestling well?
Yeah, I mean, I think that which Realbuto shows up in this year, he's, you know, he's been the
really, Realbuto, really good one.
You expect, you know, 19-1, and, you know, his only loss is to guy Zahid Valencia, who's number 1 in the country and just won the Pac-12 title.
And that's a 3-2 match.
Yeah, and he's just pretty much dominated up and down most of these guys, including Kent of Penn and Schleifer from Princeton. Right. And, you know, he beat Preisch, you know, he pinned Preisch in a match where Preisch, I think, if I remember correctly, was in control for the most of the early part. And that flipped that dual meet for Cornell. They ended up sneaking out the win over the Mountain Hawks, but, you know,
and he's coming off a win. Over Bo Jordan, Ohio State, 3-2 win, and Jordan number 3 in the country. I don't think you could be coming into a tournament on fire more than Realbuto is.
Yeah, I think unless you're his teammate that we're going to talk about.
That's true. Next. That's a good point.
But but, you know, for a week, but, you know, I think Realbuto's been doing it against just the top competition, and Dean's just been doing it to everybody. But, you know, so I think, you know, Realbuto's the clear number 1, you know, and for a weight that has 6 automatic qualifiers, as we keep going down this list, it becomes clearly evident why, because I think Preisch is probably the number 2, but, you know, the 3, 4, 5 guys, you know, I think they're all kind of very similar. And then that's where that 6th spot, there's going to be some young guys we'll talk about, I think, that, you know, are going to sneak into that final position, because I'm not entirely sure how you seed 3, 4, and 5, and it's going to be very important, I think, to think about how you're going to get to the final between Bernstein, Kent, and Schleifer.
And don't Schleifer, factor out Johnson. Johnson has the win over Schleifer. Johnson could jump Schleifer, because I don't know how they're going to factor in. You know, Bernstein didn't wrestle Schleifer, I don't believe he wrestled Kent, and I don't believe he wrestled Johnson. So I don't exactly know how that one is going to get seeded. Bernstein, you know, former champion, placed third last year. Schleifer could end up sixth, and we could get, you know, we talked last year, and it's been a running joke for us between, you know, the potential Kent Schleifer semifinal that never happened. And this year we could have Kent Schleifer quarterfinal if Schleifer falls to six, which I think is possible.
Yeah, no, I think, but that's, you know, when you get in there and the coaches are talking with Schleifer having the win over Kent, you know,
that's true.
How much does that factor in, you know, because of the timing of where it was in the season and then the rest of the body of work of the wrestlers, which is, you know, relatively comparable, but Kent is the All-American and Kent is, you know, ranked number anywhere from 10 to 13 or 14 in the country by all accounts. So,
yeah,
you know, it has more wins. So, and that's where the tricky part is, because, you know, Kent did lost to Realbuto and Price and Schleifer, but he beat Johnson and, you know, and so, like,
yeah,
yeah,
3 through 6,
you're going to play
agree.
That.
Yeah, really.
My guy beat your guy and all that. So, like, you know, at some point you might be like, oh, listen, you know, Kent is an All-American in the top 12, so he's going to be – he's the 3 seed. You know, and then, yeah, now you're arguing Schleifer versus Johnson, and that's a difficult conversation to have. And that's where the, you know, coaches, you know, they may admit it, they may not, but if you're talking about your guy being 4, 5, or 6, you're probably thinking, you know, 6. 6 doesn't look so bad. To maybe make that road a little lighter, you know, a little less challenging on the way to the semifinals and on the way to the final.
Yeah, and again, six bids up for grabs. So just getting out of the quarterfinals obviously is goal number one. But you know, it's
Johnson's a guy. He beat Kent last year at the NCAA at the IEIWA tournament and earned an automatic bid to NCAAs. So he's, you know, he's taken advantage of opportunities when they've been presented to him.
He's good. He's a good wrestler. Already. Yeah, absolutely.
Yep.
And then you got a guy like Brian Harvey Ben Harvey, excuse me, at Army, you know, could be a little bit unpredictable here. You know, you don't know exactly what you're going to get from him. It's a funky weight and a really, really good, I mean, probably top to bottom. I guess you can argue 84. I just think that, you know, the 1 through 6, 1 through 7 at 74, I think is probably the best class of wrestler at any weight in the league.
Yeah, it's the weight where you're going to be able to say, like, the semifinals of the IWA tournament could be the quarterfinals or, mm-hmm. you know, high All-American matches 2 weeks from now. We used to talk about that a lot at, you know, 184 when it was Dean and Lorenzo Thomas and, you know, guys like that, that, hey, like the top four in the, you know, Nate Brown at Lehigh, that there's, like, you know, top three guys in the conference are all in the top 8 nationally. And that's where the 174 is taking over that for this tournament, where, you know, you're going to, there's a bunch of guys that could be wrestling deep into Saturday at the national tournament.
Yeah. Let's move to 84 and sources say that it is impossible for a Gabe Dean Lorenzo Thomas final to happen. Have you heard the same thing?
I have heard the same thing, unfortunately. You know, we will miss out on another overtime 4-2, 6-4 match between those two. And I think it just shows, like, you know, I'm excited to congratulate Gabe Dean on his career when it concludes on Saturday. You know, I'll be one of the first, probably with 13 other EIWA coaches.
Yes.
We're gladly escorting him to the alumni section. And he's just been so dominant and, you know, fun to watch when it's not your guy on the mat against him. You know, 2-time defending NCAA champ, looking for his 4th EIWA title, undefeated. I don't think he's lost since, you know, 2007 or something. It feels like he's just been dominant, pinning guys and putting up points, and defeated the national champ last year at 174 a couple weeks ago. And you know, you always say anything can happen. I'm not quite sure anything can happen here.
No, this is the weight that feels, and again, when you look at the weight, seven wrestlers from the EIWA qualified spots for NCAA. So it's not like we're talking about a thin weight. This is a strong weight for this league. Probably maybe not top six as quite as strong, but really good. But I also don't, it's hard to come up with a scenario, you know, outside of, God forbid, an injury, it's hard to come up with a scenario that doesn't include Dean having his arm raised at the end.
Yeah, he's been the guy at this weight for so long in the country that he's going to do that, and he's going to put up points for the Big Red along the way is the other thing. You know, and this is not, you know, there's a weight, you know, maybe it was 41 or 49 for Lehigh to have a clear advantage over Cornell. You know, Lehigh's uncertain here. If they're entered, it's a wrestler that hasn't competed since he got injured in the Penn dual meet, you know, a month and a half ago. And so will he, you know, what's Lehigh going to get from this weight when you know that Cornell's getting max points?
Right. Yeah, it's it'll be, and you know what, Dean is such a credit to the league. I mean, it like you said, it's as much as everybody will be kind of happy to see him leave, you know, and open this weight up a little bit more. You know, I think it'll be be a credit to watch him wrestle one more time. And you know, again, seven weights up for grabs. So you know, the quarterfinals, the semifinals. I mean, you know, you can watch Dean, and certainly you should, but you're going to get some really good matches all over the place. And, you know, that seventh place match that you know, is easily overlooked in a lot of spots, you know, in that session, that match is going to be big. And, I mean, you know, this is another one. Once you get to that point, could be anybody. But I think it could be, you know, it'll be a really interesting way to follow. And then certainly at the end.
I think what makes it, you know, you're thinking on man bracket, you know, you get, you know, you watch it all but guaranteed to at least be competing. You know, if you went to on the top side, you're in, then you can just focus the tournament. Even if you lose that first one, you only have, I think, two more matches and win those, and now you're right back in the hunt for what you came there for.
Right, exactly.
You know, losing that first match doesn't end your tournament, and you know, you get quarterfinal match if somebody just lost a semifinal, and you know, you get in and it just really changes, you know, it makes that fun. And that's where, you know, as you go through and you're like, you know, the wrestlers, the guys that, you know, if you draw Gabe Dean first, it's not the end of your day,
right?
You know, you come back, go down there and you pounce, like you're right back where you started. And I think, you know, I can't even begin to tell you who I think is going to be opposite him in the final.
Right.
I think it's so close between the rest of those guys, you know, that, you know, the edge might go to Binghamton's Schneider. He's the highest ranked guy and in a, you know, a veteran and been through there. But Army's Samson and Imanode has had experience. You know, Alex DeShantis from Drexel has been solid for them all year. And that's where I think, you know, the seeding part of things, you know, again, for Penn, you know, our guy Joe Hayab has been injured most of the year, you know, and still been wrestling and powering through, but he's lost to Imanode and Schneider, Lafragola, DeShantis. But, you know, he's probably that seventh guy on that list. So, but he's been close with all those guys. So right. How does that, you know, and Parker for Princeton, where, you know, for you, like, had a pretty good start to his year. He's a freshman going through it. You know, where's his health at? Where's his body at to be able to come in and, you know, get back to where his goal was at the beginning of the year, and the season may not have played out that way, but he's got the chance now.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's when you have a weight like that, you have those seven spots, somebody's going to come out of nowhere, and you know, they all have kind of an equal chance, maybe not equal, but they all have a real chance at it. And I think, you know, when you have somebody like Dean, who's that such that clear favorite, it does kind of change goals a little bit. And I agree with you. You lose in that first round, not the end of the world if you can get yourself refocused quickly and kind of get back on your game. 97, quickly four weights up for grabs. You know, the reigning champion is Princeton's Brett Harner. You know, he had, you know, struggled a little bit towards the end of the season. You know, a couple of really close matches. His best match, you know, over the second half of the year was the win over Matisse. But, You know, struggled a little bit at the end, lost to Honus from Cornell, and but I think probably still enters as the top seed. I mean, I guess, you know, we could see kind of how it plays out, but you know, four weights up for grabs. Matisse gave Harner a really good run in the semifinals last year, and you know, if those are on opposite sides of the draw, could be the final.
Yeah, as I think, you know, it'll be interesting to see again with that seeding question of, you know, the last match that Honus and Harner, you know, the last match for Harner was a loss to Honus, and you know, but as Honus hasn't really been the starter for them all year.
Right.
So is it, you know, and Harner comes in defending champ and an All American, so you know, that might just be the one seed. But then Matty Ace and Honus didn't wrestle. So, you know, Matty Ace had that season long body of work, 23-9 overall this year, and you know, beaten, you know, so I think, you know, you're probably looking at Harner 1, Matty Ace 2, I think, if I was allowed to do it, but Matty Ace has lost to Slay from Bucknell.
Right.
So, you
and
know,
Slay's one we can't overlook because, again, Slay is going to be somebody who is, you know, in his home. And this is a Bucknell team that, frankly, is going to push for that third spot. I mean, you talked about a few teams that could get up there. It's hard to picture somebody jumping into the top two, but, you know, Bucknell, Drexel, Princeton, you know, the military schools. I mean, these are teams that are going to battle for that third spot, and Bucknell could get a little run here. And Slay, who's a 2-time place winner of the IWAs, he could be a big factor in that.
Yeah, and the last time Bucknell hosted, they had a champion, Kevin LaValle,
mm-hmm.
beat Kyle Dake, you know, to win an IWA title, and you know, so they definitely gear up for the tournament at their place. So, you know, Slay may be the guy, and you know, we talked about Smith and Lopez. They have three guys that are thinking about winning, you know, legit shots at winning this title. And you know, Slay and Matty Ace had a 3-2 match. It was close, you know, takedown
mm-hmm.
in the final couple seconds type thing. You know, they're but that's the type of match that happens in a semifinal of a conference tournament.
Right.
And that's sometimes been Matty Ace's weakness. Is, you know, as I, you know, I spend a lot of time with him and we talk, and when he opens up and scores couple points early, he can go, but a lot of times it's a 3-1, 3-2 match one way or the other, and those are just, that just wears on you over the course of a tournament.
Yeah.
You know, and can he flip a couple of those that he's had on the negative side this year and get those wins? Because I think him and Harner, you know, the match in the dual meet wasn't close. Harner had, you know, a couple back points, you know,
he hit the 6-point move, and that kind of took that match out of hand, but
yeah, and so, you know, so that's there, but I think the, you know, they're closer than people may think.
Mm-hmm.
And you know, and it's, you know, I think, you know, those two guys, you know, it'd be fun to watch Penn and Princeton battle for an EIWA championship. I think that would be good for both programs, and you know, good for that rivalry that's been percolating over the last couple of years,
and good for us. Let's face it.
Yeah.
Just for our rivalry, we should do it. We'll wrap up here. 285, four spots up for grabs. Again, not a clear favorite. Goodhart from Drexel, Valero from Lehigh, Columbia's Garrett Ryan, you know, potential, you know, first team all Ivy. You know, that one's a little open too. You know, but again, is this a weight where you'd be stunned if one of, I don't know, four or five guys? You know, I didn't see Goodhart, so maybe you have a different opinion of him, but, you know, where do you see this weight?
Yeah, I think, you know, I think Goodhart and O'Donnell are probably the two, you know, the two top guys there, you know, in my mind, at least, from who I've seen.
Valaro's
had a really
be,
good season.
Yeah, Valaro beat O'Donnell. He lost to, I wouldn't be surprised if Valaro's the 2 seed. Drexel beat him, but Valaro's got the win over O'Donnell. I don't know if they wrestled Columbia, how that went. He has a loss to Columbia. So that's an interesting one. 2-3-4, Columbia, Garrett Ryan. It wouldn't surprise me actually if Ryan's the 2 and maybe Valaro the 3, O'Donnell the 4. You know, it could fall that way, although, you know, we'll see where other people fall on that.
Yeah, and Goodhart's improved, or you know, over the last year and a half or so, I think. You know, we see a lot of him, you know, here in Philly, and, you know, he's picked up some really nice wins, and, you know, I think he established himself as, you know, the clear guy for the most part at this weight, but, you know, it's hard to, like, you know, I just think that the heavyweight factor kind of comes into play here, where a lot of these matches are close and,
yeah,
you know, they're just by the nature of it. And, you know, with the weight, the allocation at four, that, you know, people are going to kind of make sure they take care of their business. But, you know, there's the Tyler Green of Bucknell again. He was at 197 last year, so he's a little bit on the lighter side, you know, but he's been picking up some wins. And, you know, another guy that I kind of like is Connor Calkins from Binghamton. And he's, you know, he's a pinner, it looks like, a little bit. And that's always kind of good to have in your back pocket at one of these tournaments, to be able to, you know, you go out there and heavyweight and throw somebody to the ground, and, you know, that's over.
Yeah, and you save yourself some energy. I mean, these are, you know, these are the biggest guys, obviously. And you know, you talked about, these are a lot of 3-2 matches, you know, overtime, you know, who's getting the takedown, who's escaping. And, you know, that will wear on you in a tournament like this. So if somebody could get just a quick, easy, early win, you know, any kind of energy you can save heading into Saturday will be a big factor. All right, we've talked about individuals. I mean, we've touched on the team stuff. You know, I agree with you. You said earlier, this is Cornell and Lehigh, certainly, again. And, you know, Cornell has had this kind of magical season, which is a funny thing to say for a team who's done everything that Cornell has done over the last 10, 15 years. But, you know, I don't think they were favored against Ohio State. I don't know that they were favored against Lehigh, and they've found ways to win these matches. You know, the match with Princeton for the Ivy title was close, and then they won close matches. They've found ways to win. If they can find a way to win this one again, and I do think it's close with them and Lehigh, you got to tip your hat to them. This would be one of really the most impressive years that Cornell's had.
Yeah, I think they've been, you know, dodging and diving their way through the season. And, you know, for Penn, you know, Penn, we had a lead through five matches on them in the dual meet, and then they turned to their hammers, and
yeah,
Real Buto and Dean closed the door, and you know, and Womack with a big win as well. And I think that's going to be their game plan heading into this, is that, you know, they need to keep it close at the 125s, mm-hmm, the 133s, the 141s. Where Lehigh's favored, and do what they did to Lehigh in the dual meet. Come back around on the end and trust in your seniors and you know, that they're going to put up points and they're going to, you know, be on the top of those podiums at 74, at 84, at, you know, potentially at 65, you know, and potentially even at 97, depending on, you know, because I think that weight's a little bit closer than, you know, and they have probably the edge over Lehigh there. So, you know, Lehigh could start that final session with a lead, and Cornell catches him, depending on how the bonus points shake out early on in that tournament.
And I do think bonus points is a key thing here, because it wouldn't shock me if you took, you know, the 10 individual wrestlers from Lehigh and Cornell, and Lehigh actually, over the 10, had higher placings, you know, from the majority of its wrestlers. But the bonus points that just Real Buto and Dean could pick up, is something that I don't know that any team has that 1-2 punch like they do in terms of bonus points. And, you know, so that will be a huge factor. I appreciate you coming on again for our second annual EIWA preview. Always a great tournament. Looking forward to it again on Friday. And I'll see you up at Bucknell.
All right. Thanks, Craig. It was great to be here. Enjoy talking with you, and I'll see you Friday morning.